This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is it possible to understand the seeming political earthquake that hit the United States of America, and particularly the East Coast, and then echoed all the way to the West Coast yesterday? I believe it is. But you cannot understand it merely in political terms. You have to dig deeper. You have to look directly into the mind and the heart of the people. That is, we the people. As our Constitution says in its preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, we the people. Our government is a government of we the people. And, as has been said, we get the government we deserve because we elect that government and it looks just like us. It's a reflection of we the people. The politics are a reflection of something much deeper in we the people. The politics aren't the real issue. They are a reflection of the real issue, which is deep inside the mind and heart of we the people. So we're going to take a look at that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, as always, talk that transforms. By the way, if you were not able to listen to yesterday's program, you owe it to yourself and your friends, your neighbors, and so on, to listen to the program. You might want to just listen to it on the website, saveus.org, download it for your cell phone or so on. Listen to it collectively as a family. Listen to it very carefully. It'll touch your heart. It really will. And it'll be the fodder for much conversation in your life. Maybe decisions as well. That's right. Yesterday's program, the program that aired live on November 4th, Election Day. So with that having been said, let me just make a statement that the R's and D's behind people's names in an election have very little whatsoever to really do with the politics. The politics are a matter of the heart of the people, whether or not they carry an R or a D behind their name. So what does the R and or D, Republican or Democrat, represent? Well, you say it represents the name or the shortened version of a party, Republican or Democrat. Yes, it does. But it also represents what that party stands for politically. But it represents much more than that. In reality, it represents what that party really stands for in their minds and in their hearts, what the leaders of that party stand for, and what the people who continue to call themselves, labeling an R or a D behind their name, stand for. And let's suppose that you don't label yourself with an R or a D. You claim you're an independent. All right? The same issue holds true. You may say you're independent, but independent of what and from what and to what? What makes you independent? You say, well, I don't put an R or a D behind my name. Okay, so what do you put there? What is it that reflects when you vote? What is reflected in your vote about your internal beliefs, your heart, your relationship to God or not? What is it that is represented in your vote? Because a vote is not just a political demonstration. We think that it is, but it's not. It's actually a vote for destiny. It's a vote of your viewpoint. So viewpoint determines destiny. Your vote is a viewpoint. And it's a viewpoint that doesn't just express a political viewpoint, but expresses why you have that political viewpoint, why you're voting for the person or the cause or whatever it happens to be that you're voting for. And few people seem to recognize that because they're so used to voting for an R or a D, or in very limited cases, an I for independent. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at what happened yesterday because it's a signal. In fact, an article says that the Mamdani victory there in New York signals an earth-shaking shift in New York City politics. Well, friends, it doesn't just indicate an earth-shaking shift in New York City politics. It indicates an earth-shaking shift in all American politics. Why? Because there has been an earth-shaking shift in America's spiritual life, or lack thereof. I hope you're listening. Because, friends, if you do not understand it this way, it's impossible to understand the trajectory that is taking place and why. It's not because somebody is a better candidate. It's not because somebody said the right words. It's not because somebody came in and endorsed. Because those that come in and endorse have exactly the same viewpoints of those they're endorsing. That's why they're endorsing them. And their viewpoints are expressing the desired destiny of the vote that they are trying to attract. So viewpoint determines destiny. It always has and always does and always will. Your viewpoint expressed in your vote is a determining factor for the destiny of the country. And yes, indeed, of the world. Because what is done in the United States of America, which happens to be at this point anyway, the most powerful and prosperous country ever in the history of the world, is going to affect the whole world. In fact, it already is affecting the whole world. And we just don't see it that way. We think more in terms of, you know, my little area or my state or my city or my region, my county, or even my country. But it's a much bigger picture than that. Oh, my friend, if you listen to yesterday's program, you would find that it actually is a picture that is leading toward a new, complete world order. The characteristics of that world order. And they're being set right now, reflected in yesterday's election in the Northeast, in Virginia, where I live and where this program emanates from, and also in California. And also we're going to see in Illinois. So all across the country, this spirit, it's an anti-God, rebellion against God and his authority spirit, even embracing false gods, an Islamic God, Allah. That's Mamdani. That's why he received the majority of his financial support came from Islamic groups. Did you know that? I have in front of me articles confirming that. Sarsour says Mamdani's biggest backer was CARE, the CARE Pact. The biggest financial backer, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Wow. So he wasn't supported primarily by New Yorkers in general. So why did New Yorkers vote for him? What new New Yorkers did vote for him? And who voted for Spanberger as government in Virginia? And a man who had threatened to kill off his opponents was still elected in Virginia.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Before we go further, I'd urge you to get a copy of my book, The Secret of the Lord, because it goes to the very heart of what is happening, why it's happening. We're not talking about elections in that book. We're talking about something that is so fundamental, so foundational to the mind and heart of God that he says, there is none of my promises that will take root in your life and your heart unless you have this particular thing. And I'm not talking about salvation itself. It's true. You can't even think straight without it. God says so. And so what's happening in our world, what's happening in our country, is a complete reversal of that which underlay the entire political welfare of the country. Our founders, going all the way back to the very beginning, made it very clear that unless the people were a virtuous people in line with the precepts of Christianity and the fear of the Lord, they could not preserve freedom. They just couldn't preserve freedom. It would not last. And that's where we are. We've been watching this trajectory now for quite a period of time. It didn't just happen in a day. This has been happening ever since, I would say, probably the mid-1960s at least, with the sexual revolution and the rebellion of the baby boomers against all authority, including God's authority. That set the stage for everything that's happened since then. And we're seeing the echoing consequences, you could call that the afterquakes of the great truthquake that shook the nation and the entire Western world in the 1960s. The whole world shook. No wonder the Beatles sang a song, "He's a real nowhere man, living in a nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have the points of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me?" Or maybe the Rolling Stones, "I can't get no satisfaction." So everybody's trying to get satisfaction in ways that don't bring satisfaction. They have abandoned the fear of the Lord. They have abandoned the very foundations of freedom and virtue, which lead to prosperity, which lead to enjoyment of life, which lead to the protection and preservation of freedom and liberty and justice for all. Abandon all that in favor of a man-ordained gospel. Got to give the people what they want. Have it your way. Do what you want. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And then we get a whole collective of people with a D behind their name who are doing just that, and they form a political force to force the rest of the world and the rest of the country to do their bidding and abandon the God who made and preserved us a nation. That's where we are. That's where things are going. Get a copy of the book, Secret of the Lord. It is a $20 hardbound book, yours for $15, on our website, saveus.org. Every promise of God is predicated on what this book talks about, including salvation itself. But we have so far forgotten it. Even many of our pastors don't quite get it. In fact, they're afraid to teach or preach about it because they're afraid the people will react. But God says it's the very foundation, from his viewpoint, of everything that he sent his son to do. Everything that he requires for you and I to do to please him. And if we want to have a nation that is going to be blessed by the Lord, if we want to be able to sing "God Bless America, Land of My," and so on, with a straight face, then we're going to have to embrace the subject of this book, The Secret of the Lord. For the secret of the Lord is with them who obey him, who keep his covenant, and to them only will he show his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those who obey him, who keep his covenant, but to them who fear him. That's what it says. The secret of the Lord is to them, with them who fear him. And to those only will he reveal his covenant. So our whole nation is at risk right now. Our whole nation is at risk not just because of the liberals, not just because of the homosexuals, not just because of the transgenders, but because of the transition of Christian people, professing Christians who don't fear the Lord. And so they don't obey his voice. And so God doesn't reveal and manifest himself to us. And so gradually, over time, even the warmest audience, God's warmest audience, is not able to keep the nation spiritually warm anymore. That's why Jesus said, "You're the light of the world, but if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Again, the book, The Secret of the Lord, a hardbound book, yours for $15. If you read it with an open heart and mind, it will change your life. Your eyes will be open to see things the way God sees them. It's an open orientation toward life itself, everything in life, including politics, by the way. So, $15, we'll put it in your hands on the website saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. All right, now, again, the headline, Mamdani victory signals earth-shaking shift in New York City politics. Actually, American politics. It makes Mamdani the first Muslim mayor in the city's history. Now, think about this. First, it was London, our mother country, that elected a Muslim mayor over one of the most prominent cities in the world. One of the most prominent financial cities in the world, London. A Muslim mayor. Because they've allowed Islam to come in and take over a country that was once dedicated to God. I said once dedicated to God. The Church of England has been apostatizing for years. And now, England, London, elected a Muslim mayor. Does God love Muslim people? Yes, but he doesn't love the Muslim aspect. So for a Christian country, a country dedicated to Christ and the Christian faith, they cannot elect a Muslim. To do so is a reflection of the apostasy in the minds and hearts of the people who voted that way. It's apostasy, friends. God will not be mocked. He won't be mocked by New York. He won't be mocked in Richmond, Virginia. He won't be mocked in California. He won't be mocked in Pennsylvania that just elected the first trans mayor of a city or a town. In Pennsylvania, founded by William Penn as a Christian. Do you see what's going on here? Mamdani, a 34-year-old state assemblyman from Queens, ran an unabashedly socialist platform promising free, fare-free buses, universal child care, a city-run grocery store in each borough, a $30 minimum wage by 2030, and new taxes on corporations and high earners, which already has one of the highest taxes in America. Perhaps second only to New Jersey, right next door. That also revealed in its election exactly the same problem. So, Mamdani has been labeled a socialist and a communist by many. As a communist, this great city has zero chance of success or even survival, said Donald Trump. It can only get worse with a communist at the helm. Think about this, almost 800,000 New Yorkers have already said they would flee the city if Mamdani won. The survey found that 9% of New Yorkers would definitely leave the city, which has a population of roughly 8.5 million people. It also raises a big question regarding the city's Jewish community, the largest in the world outside of Israel. Anti-Israel politics have been a driving force in Mamdani's life, from his formative influences in his father's academic circles to his own college activism with Students for Justice in Palestine. So, it signals an earth-shaking shift not only in New York City politics, which was already progressively liberal, liberally progressive, but now has gone way over the line. Way over the line with someone who is dedicated, acknowledged democratic socialist, but whose policies look more like communism than socialism itself. He's already gone the next step. Mamdani's mother said that he's not even an American. That's what she said. He's not even an American. He was born in Uganda, a Ugandan-born socialist. His father is anti-American, a professor at Columbia. Think about this. This is the one that New Yorkers have elected. And what New Yorkers have elected him? Primarily millennials and Generation Z. Those 40 and under, they elected him. Why did they elect him? What was it about that particular people group? That particular people group have largely abandoned the fear of the Lord in total. I don't care what people are saying now about the conservative nature of Generation Z. You didn't see that yesterday in that election, did you? No. It's wish fulfillment because of Charlie Kirk. Yes, there probably are some Generation Z that are growing more conservative, especially guys. But overall, no. They may be coming to our churches because of Charlie Kirk, but that doesn't mean they're becoming more conservative or even becoming Christians. It doesn't mean that at all. It means they're very confused. They're trying to find some kind of answer somewhere. And so they went and voted for a Muslim to give them everything that was promised to them. Everything's free. Well, what does that speak to? Entitlement. That's the message, entitlement. It has nothing to do with the spirit of our country working, hard work. It has to do with entitlement, which is directly contrary to the word of God. The word of God says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. The word of God mocks a person that will not work, that is able and willing, able to work, but refuses to work. What's the number one characteristic of the Generation Z in practical terms today? Entitled and unwilling to work. So employers can't even depend upon them to show up for work. It's a horrible blight upon the business world today. It really is. And it's a spiritual problem. It's not just a business problem. It's not just a political problem. It's a spiritual problem. And nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to talk about the periphery, the politics, the consequences, the result. But nobody really wants to talk about the heart. That's what we talk about here on this program. We go to the very heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter is always the heart. And the heart of man is desperately wicked, as Jeremiah the prophet said, who could even know it? So, that's where we have to deal. Remember, it was John Adams who said, our government was made for a moral and Christian people and is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So then, what kind of people is Mamdani going to govern? Or Spanberger in Virginia? We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
It was a dark day for New York City. But a dark day also for the United States of America, and therefore for the world. The Republican Jewish Coalition sharply condemns Zohran Mamdani's historic victory in New York City mayor election, calling it the result a dark day for the city of New York. They said Democrats have shamefully endorsed and elected an anti-Semite to run the largest city in America with the largest number of Jews in the country. In Zohran Mamdani, the New Yorkers will now have a mayor who will ruin their economy, their education, their transportation system with communist fantasy policies. They will have a mayor who took money from terror-supporting Islamist organizations for his campaign, who is virulently anti-capitalism, anti-police, anti-Israel, and who will not lift a finger to protect Jewish New Yorkers from the globalization of the Intifada crowd. Truly, a dark day for the city of New York. However, here's the problem. You see, New York supposedly represents the rest of the country. Whether you think so or not, that is a generalized view that New York is, you know, the big kahuna of American cities. The largest city in America. The greatest city. And so what happens in New York happens everywhere. It spreads. What happens in your city, like my city, Richmond, Virginia, spreads. When I came to Richmond, Virginia 32 years ago, at the call of God to come to this birth city of America, the place where the Cross of the Covenant was first planted on these shores in 1607, the place that business looked at it as the principal testing ground in America, saying, brother, if it'll work in Richmond, it'll work anywhere. So we came here believing it was of a holy mandate to come here specifically, not to Washington, because that was political, but to come to Richmond, Virginia, which was a spiritual root place. Do you know that no spiritual revival has ever occurred in Richmond, Virginia? None. So a number of years ago, when Peter Marshall Jr., the son of the famous Peter Marshall, who was chaplain of the United States Senate for a while and wrote the book Christ or Chaos, he had been on this program a number of times, Peter Marshall Jr., and he was asked to come and be the keynote speaker to a Republican gubernatorial inauguration. And so he called me and indicated he was coming, and I said, well, come on over for dinner. We'll have you at our home for dinner before you go down to your hotel. So we did, and we had a wonderful dinner together. And as I drove him down to his hotel in downtown Richmond, I asked him a question, a very simple question. I said, Peter, you are a renowned American historian. You understand the very roots of this country. You've written about it in your book, The Light and the Glory, and so on. So I ask you, if you were to describe the city of Richmond, Virginia, from God's viewpoint, how would you describe it? And here was his answer. Stubborn, rebellious, and let's see, there was something, one other thing. Anyway, stubborn and something in rebellion. And indeed, that is in fact what we have discovered here. So when we first came here, not only Richmond, Virginia, but the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, was a red state. In other words, it still embraced the fear of the Lord in general. It still believed in a nation under God. It still believed in those general things and voted that way. But we have watched the trajectory now over these last 32 years since we've been here. And incrementally, it has gone the way of Balaam, the false prophet there in the Old Testament. It's gone after money. It's gone after power, perks, and position. And it's embraced increasingly the God-despising, God-rejecting, rebellious attitude that the Scriptures lament about concerning God and His Word. So along comes somebody by the name of Spanberger. And first she becomes a congresswoman, and then she runs for governor. She's become the first female governor of Richmond, Virginia, or of Virginia itself, which itself is pretty unbelievable. Her campaign consisted of continually embracing all the things that God says he hates. He hates homosexuality. He hates divorce. God hates those things, transgenderism. In other words, God hates everything that's contrary to his creation ordinance in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3. She embraces all of those things that God hates. Openly, notoriously, so does her attorney general, who was elected even though he was caught having said that he wished that the Speaker of the House of Delegates in Virginia would have two bullets put in his head and his kids would die because he hated him so much. This is the guy who was just elected attorney general, who's supposed to be dependent upon to represent, faithfully represent the protection of the people of Richmond, of Virginia. How could people do this? What's happened to their minds? They've abandoned the fear of the Lord, friends. They have no common wisdom. They have rebelled against God, rebelled against his word, and this is what you get. And even the lieutenant governor that was elected is a profound, radical, pro-homosexual, transgenderism, all of those things, and abortion. Every one of these was on a campaign to kill your children. What does God say? He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, not to kill their children. He said, whoever takes the life of a person must have their own life taken from them, because God made human beings in his image. What do the people with the D behind their name say? Not so. We disagree. We're going to do what we want to do. We want to have more fun. We don't want to bear children. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. We want to do what we want to do. And that's the cabinet, the campaign that they run on. And the American people are voting for them. Did you? If you did, you ought to go before God right now and fall on your face with tears pouring down your eyes and repent. Not because of the politics of it, but because of the malignancy of your own heart. That you would embrace people. Maybe just because they had a D or an R behind their name. You would embrace people to vote for them when indeed they represent things that are absolutely contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. Therefore, you are against them. You are against the word, will, and ways of God, by definition, because you're consorting with them. You're supporting them. You're voting for them, and your vote is determining a godless destiny. Are you listening? Now, you notice that I increased my voice level here because this is extremely important. You can't escape the judgment for what you're doing. It's sinful to embrace people who knowingly, overtly support that which God hates. I'm just sorry it is. So Pennsylvania, that has the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, a township in Pennsylvania just elected the first openly trans mayor. I'm looking at his, her picture right now. It's a his who wants to be a her. How is this kind of thing happening? The people have abandoned the fear of the Lord, friends. Have you? Don't answer too quickly. Because if you voted for people, or if you have friends or relatives or people in your congregation who voted for people who openly and notoriously embrace other gods like Mundami, or who embrace behavior and attitudes that are dramatically contrary to the express word, will, and ways of the Lord in His Word, you are culpable as they are. Did you know in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about how this happens and the degeneration? He says, knowing God, they refuse to honor Him as God, and so their foolish minds and hearts become increasingly darkened, and God gives them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, a mind that's contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. And gradually, they embrace homosexuality. It's all right there in Romans chapter 1. Men with men, women with women, conducting themselves in ways that are inappropriate, contrary to God's word, will, and ways. And then it goes on to say at the end of the chapter, the problem is not just with those who do those things, but those who approve or support them in doing them. So when you vote for these individuals who are campaigning and openly supporting abortion, who are openly supporting transgenderism and homosexuality and bestiality and whatever ality it is that's contrary to the word, will, and ways of God, you are culpable as they are before God. And therefore, if you're listening, the Holy Spirit is warning you right now, fall on your face in repentance. Cry out to God for forgiveness and repudiate this kind of behavior, or you will not and cannot be healed.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Understanding the political shockwave that hit America yesterday. That's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint. And it's not about politics. Politics are the reflection of what is going on in the mind and heart of we the people. politics is not the thing. It's the reflection of the thing. We vote because that's the way we think. As a man or woman thinks in her heart, so is he or she. So you vote the way you think. And you think contrary to the word and will and ways of God, and that's how you vote. You support candidates that openly and notoriously support things that God hates, that are destructive to the human race, that are destructive to the family, and yet you support them because they had a D or an R or an I or whatever it was behind their name. Do you have any idea how idolatrous that is? You are supporting, you are idolizing, placing a political party above your commitment to God. That's idolatry. You're pledging allegiance not to the kingdom of God. You're not seeking first his righteousness and his kingdom. You're seeking first the power of your political party that you've chosen to align with for other ungodly reasons that the party promises to provide all your needs according to its riches and glory by stealing it from other people in America. Are you listening? This whole thing of government spreading the wealth is contrary to the word, will, and ways of the Lord. The purpose of government is expressed in the Bible right there in Corinthians, in Romans chapter 13, is to protect the people from enemies, foreign and domestic. Period. That's the purpose. And that's why our Constitution was made to support that purpose. But we've taken it way, way beyond that to turn it into a social provision engine. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is that you and I and our churches and so on become the agent of God's love and expression to those who are truly in need, so that it comes out of the depths of our heart, not out of the lack of feeling of a government that steals from others in order to give to those who supposedly have not, but who refuse to work. The purpose of government is not to be a provider. God says, I'll be your provider. I ordain government to be your protector, to praise those who do well and to punish those who don't. That's the purpose of government. Period. But we have rebelled against the word, will, and ways of God, and therefore have extorted money from those who have worked hard in order to support the laziness of those who don't. You say, well, there are some people that are, it's not because they're lazy, it's because they're infirm or they have this, that, or the other. I agree with that. And that's why, if you read the Bible, it says that those people should be supported by their families. By their families. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 58 warns the people, warned Israel about not taking care of the people under their roof. You're failing, he said. But this has been delegated now to the government. It's idolatry, friends. It's false trust. And here's what I find fascinating. In Virginia, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears, who is a conservative black woman and a Christian, failed in her campaign for governor because black people in Virginia chose to support idolatrously a candidate who had a D behind her name, in fact, supported an attorney general candidate and a lieutenant governor candidate, all of whom had a D behind their name, who were supporting abortion, transgenderism, homosexuality, everything that God says he hates, and is contrary to the express creation ordinance of God in the very beginning. And yet black America refused to support the black candidate who was a Christian and a conservative and who embraced the biblical standards because they had the gimme God blues, and they wanted the empty promises of a candidate, candidate for governor, both in New York and in New Jersey and in Virginia. The same pattern followed. Therefore, I'm going to speak very directly to my brothers and sisters, or purported brothers and sisters, in black America. If you vote or did vote for any of those individuals, I'm not talking about somebody that had a D behind their name. I'm talking about somebody who openly and notoriously represented that they stood for and campaigned for things that were openly and notoriously contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. If you voted for them, you are as guilty before God as they are. You are an idolater. You do not trust God, no matter how many times you go to church, no matter how many times you genuflect to your pastor. You do not love God. You love the praises of men, particularly politicians, who will give you what they promise you, and you don't trust God. You just don't. It's simple. You're living in the spirit of Egypt. You've gone back to Egypt, murmuring and complaining. Pharaoh, give me what I want. I like the leeks, onions, and garbage. I'm going back to Egypt. That's what you're doing. You're living in the spirit of Babylon. You're living in the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah, my friend. Whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter. If you voted for these things, you are actually living as if you are supporting, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what you're doing. And you are guilty as sin. There's not even a question about it. It's point blank truth. And if there was any hope for this country, those who profess the name of Christ must come to grips with their idolatry, political idolatry, spiritual idolatry. How in the world did black America that George Gallup, the pollster to America, once said was the most religious group, claiming the most Christian group in America, yet vote the most non-Christian ways? How do you justify that? No wonder your families are broken apart. No wonder 70% of your children are born out of wedlock. No wonder the women say they can't trust their men because of such promiscuity. Ebony Magazine came out and said that in its 50th anniversary, right out of San Francisco. Friends, this is not a joke. It's not a game. Don't tell me you want to see God's blessing upon America when you vote just the opposite. This is not a matter of Republican versus Democrat, because there are Republicans that don't agree with what God has said. But the majority are Democrats. openly, notoriously. That's why we have so-called blue states and red states. The blue states are virtually entirely composed of people who defy the word, will, and ways of God and are going to do it their way. And that's why those cities have so much trouble. That's why Chicago has so much trouble. And if that were not enough, the Democrat-controlled Illinois Senate just voted 30-27 to pass a Senate bill known as the End of Life Options for Terminally Ill Patients Act on Friday. The bill, which now heads to the desk of Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, who is a raging Democrat, supports everything that is contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. The vote fell largely along party lines, although eight Democrats broke from their party. They had a tweak of conscience. Now the Democrat-controlled Illinois House of Representatives voted 63-42 in favor of the measure, with five Democrats joining all Republicans in opposing it. In other words, you can see, everywhere the vote takes place, it's a vote contrary by Democrats to the word, will, and ways of God. Period. So who are you voting for? Nobody's perfect. We know that. Neither you, nor I, nor your favorite pastor. Nobody is perfect. We know that. We're all sinners. But what we're called to do is discern righteousness. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say seek political power. He didn't say seek the kingdoms of this earth and who's going to give me the most that I want. He didn't say that at all. Just the opposite. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus is king. Not Nancy Pelosi or Bernie Sanders or AOC or Chuck Schumer or even Donald Trump. Seek first the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, that's not happening. We don't even know how to do that. One pastor a few years ago here in Richmond, Virginia, told me, the Lord was speaking to my heart on the way to a pastor's gathering in the morning for breakfast. And I asked the Lord, I said, why is it after all these years of prayer, we still don't have revival? And he responded immediately. He says, because my pastors are not preaching righteousness. And then he said, now, that's the reason why your country, the church has no power in your country to change anything because they're not living righteously. So I got to the meeting and was sharing that little thing over coffee with the pastor of one of the largest evangelical churches in Richmond, Virginia. And when I said, my pastors are not preaching righteousness, he hung his head and he said, Chuck, I don't think I even know how to preach righteousness. Need we say anything further? Get a copy of my book, Secret of the Lord. Really, it'll open your eyes, it'll open your heart from God's viewpoint, because it uses only Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll be surprised. $15 will put the hardbound book in your hands. It's on the website saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Look, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let the Holy Spirit convict where conviction is necessary. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.